Today is Saturday, the 29th of April 2023, and we are gathered here for the 80th session on Mindfulness for Beginners. And we have Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero joining us in today's session, representing Nisarana Vane Forest Monastery. And on behalf of all of us, I would like to welcome Bhante with much respect for today's session. Also, there are those of you who are joining through the Zoom and also the live streaming over the Satipasala Foundation's Facebook webpage. So I would like to welcome all of you to today's session on Mindfulness for Beginners in the English medium. And our program will be conducted in this order, where we start with in-session mindfulness practice to get you warmed up for this session. And then we will move on to the talk on Mindfulness for Beginners, which is the chosen topic being anger for this week. And also then we will move on to the question and answer session, where we will present the questions, the reports received for today's session, and then open up the floor for any verbal statements or questions on mindfulness practice from you. And then we will wrap up the program for today's session. So then, as the next step, I would like to invite Venerable Bhante to initiate the proceedings with the in-session mindfulness guidance. Over to Bhante. Much merits.
Thanks, Namantha. Hello, everybody. So today, we will start our session with a mindful walking practice. For this, you need some space where you can walk back and forth. Probably like 10 to 15 steps would be enough. You have to select this space where you can walk back and forth without difficulty, without any obstacles. Make sure that your path is clear. Then you can start walking and try to be aware. We have our eyes open. We are not going to look around. Instead, we will direct our eyes towards the floor, probably like 7-8 feet ahead of you. You can direct your eyes there and you can start your walking practice. Initially, you might not feel anything. Initially, you might not catch anything. But with time, you may notice that your body is walking. You may notice various bodily sensations. Probably the texture of the floor, temperature differences, various things you might notice. And the parts that are touching, probably the heel that's touching first. Probably the toes are touching last. So these details you might observe. So the idea is to walk in a comfortable manner and try to pay attention to the walking. Try to notice what is happening. Try to notice what you feel. Time to time, various other things like surrounding sights, surrounding sounds, various thoughts, planning, memory, those things may grab your attention. But again and again, we try to be present. We try to bring our attention to the walking process. We try to know that we are walking. This is the idea of a walking session. And again, you have to do this. Again and again, you have to bring your attention to the walking process and try to see that you are walking mindfully. Try to notice that you are walking mindfully. So this is the idea. As a group, let's try to practice mindful walking for a few minutes. Walk in a comfortable manner. Try to be aware. Try to pay attention that you are walking. Bring your attention again and again to the walking process. The mind may wander. You may get various thoughts, emotions. Again and again, we bring our attention to the walking process. We try to be present with the walking. So as a group, let's try to practice mindful walking for a while. Okay, everybody, now you can return back to your seats. So that's probably like 15 minutes of mindful walking. This is just to give you an idea so you can practice on your own. Try to practice during your week and see whether we can be mindful that we are walking. Every day, if you can at least do like 20, 30 minutes of mindful walking, that's a good habit to develop. That way you can come back with your own experience and we can share, we can discuss in this meeting. So that's just to give you an idea. We invite all of you to practice like this. Now, Mantha, you can take over.
Thank you and much merits, Bhante. It feels very good to do that practice even in session as well. So with that, next item on our agenda is for the talk on mindfulness, where Bhante will provide many insights for us to follow through the next week and develop further. So I would like to invite Bhante with much respect to commence the talk on mindfulness as scheduled for today. Over to Bhante. Thank you. Much merits.
Okay, everybody, we can take probably like 20, 30 minutes to discuss mindfulness related to the topic that we have for this month. So during this month, we have been discussing the topic anger. So that's our topic for today as well. For 5 weeks, I think we have discussed this. So maybe too long, right? Some of you might feel that it's too long because for 5 weeks we have been having the same topic. Today, we can take some time to discuss subtle forms of this. The anger we know. Usually anger, it is prominent. We know when we are angry. We get angry, we blame people, we hit people. So these things are there. But when it comes to the practice, when you start your meditation, when you start your practice, you might come to know subtle forms of anger. We can say it's the same thing. It's the same emotions. It's the same thoughts. But these are subtle forms which are harder to notice. Sometimes you don't even notice this. But these things are there. Various subtle forms are there. And in our lives, maybe they are affecting us a lot. They are affecting our relationships with other people, your family, your friends. They are affecting our relationships. And they are affecting your relationship with yourself, which is the most important. It affects the relationship you have with yourself. So it's important to understand these things. It's important to notice these things in our day-to-day life. With mindfulness, you can little by little notice that I'm having these subtle forms of anger. I am having these subtle forms of anger. And they are affecting my relationships with family and friends. They are affecting my relationship with myself. So that's what we are trying to discuss today. Now, let's say, even for the practitioners, there is a common subtle form of anger. In a way, they hate themselves. They hate themselves. They have a pain-seeking behavior. Especially the practitioners, for the name of the practice, they start a pain-seeking behavior. They try to torture themselves. And they try to do various things. Instead of doing the simple mindfulness practice, they try to torture themselves. They try to sit still for hours and hours. They try to be mindful 24/7. So these are pain-seeking behaviors. Sometimes they avoid meals and try to do various experiments. So these things are not that much appreciated in our practice. Of course, you can do it as an experiment, but if you, without even knowing, sometimes it becomes a pain-seeking behavior. You start blaming yourself for bad thoughts, emotions that you have. You start blaming yourself for being unmindful. So various things are there. Especially for the practitioners, this becomes prominent. Earlier, they had some anger. Earlier, they had some pain-seeking behavior towards the outside people. But now, they have this pain-seeking behavior towards themselves. They try to torture themselves with the name of the practice they do. So it's important that we understand these things. It's important that we talk about these things. Especially as practitioners, we have to make sure that we are compassionate towards ourselves. Just because you heard the word mindfulness, you can't be mindful 24/7. It's a gradual practice. You have to develop it gradually. So if you start blaming yourself for being unmindful all the time, then that's not helping. If you start blaming yourself for having various thoughts, emotions, we label them as bad, certain emotions, certain thoughts, we label them as bad. As soon as you heard the word mindfulness, as soon as you try your practice, then you start blaming yourself. You start blaming yourself for having anger. You start blaming yourself for having lust. You start blaming yourself for having jealousy. So these things are there among the practitioners. These things are more or less pain-seeking behaviors. In order to give up these pain-seeking behaviors, it's important that we discuss the correct way of practice. It's important that we understand the correct way of practice. So what we do, we reserve some time for our formal meditation. Every day, you try to do at least like 20-30 minutes of mindful sitting. Every day, you try to do at least like 20-30 minutes of mindful walking. Make it a part of your daily schedule. Every day, you have some time for meditation. This is my meditation time. Probably sitting meditation you can do early in the morning. And the walking, if you are busy, if you have work, then of course you can do it towards the end of the day. That way, you have a gradual approach. You can't suddenly, like a magic, you can't become mindful all the time. Instead, you gradually develop it. Formal meditation is the way. Formal meditation helps. It's like going to a gym. You are spending some time. You dedicate some time to develop your muscles. Similarly, mindfulness, we can say, it's another form of muscle that you are trying to develop. So formal meditation is more like going to the gym. So every day you spend 20-30 minutes of mindful sitting. You spend 20-30 minutes of mindful walking. That practice, you try to maintain for a while, not just a day, not just a week, but in certain few months, you try to continue like this. And during these times, you can try and practice mindfulness during simple day-to-day activities as well. Brushing your teeth, 5 minutes, can you be mindful that you are brushing? Eating a meal, can you be mindful that you are eating? Sweeping, cooking, can you be mindful that you are doing those activities? So that way, you have to take a gradual approach. Otherwise, if you think just because you heard the word mindfulness, just because you understand the concept, you can't be mindful. If you start blaming yourself, then that's not helping. Instead, you gradually approach gradually develop. Okay, I know that I am unmindful most of the time. But can I be mindful at least for few steps? Can I be mindful at least for few breaths? That's the proper approach that you have to take. We don't worry about the unmindful times. We don't worry about getting lost in thoughts. Instead, we focus on the positive. We focus on the positive side. We know that we can be mindful at least for few steps. We know that we can be mindful at least for few breaths. That's enough. That's the way, that's the proper way towards the practice. Gradually, you have to develop yourself. Gradually, you can be more and more mindful as your practice grows. And when it comes to the practice, when you practice for a while, you realize we can't get rid of these thoughts, emotions in our mind. If you start blaming yourself for anger, that's not helping. If you start blaming yourself for having negative thoughts, emotions, that's not helping. Instead, you know that this is the nature of the mind. You know that this is how it works. With mindfulness, you are not encouraging those thoughts. With mindfulness, you are not encouraging those emotions. That is the proper approach. That is the proper way. You know that these negative thoughts are there. You know that these negative emotions are there. What you have been doing, you have been encouraging these thoughts in your life. You have been encouraging these emotions in your life. Let's say anger, for example, when you get angry, you want to take revenge. You want to hit people. You want to blame people. You want to destroy at least certain things that they own. That's how you have been doing. So in a way, we have been fueling this fire of anger, of negative thoughts, negative emotions. So far, you have been doing that, but now we are not encouraging it. We know that we are angry. We know that we have these thoughts, emotions. By knowing, by that simple act of knowing, you separate yourself from those thoughts, emotions. You separate yourself from those usual fires of desire. So that's the idea. That's the proper approach towards practice. Now you are not encouraging these thoughts, emotions. Now you are not encouraging the anger. Instead, you try to observe that I am angry. When you get angry, sometimes you may even feel the changes in your body. Your body changes according to the anger. So if you are really mindful, you can even notice the changes. If the body is heating up, your blood pressure is rising. So these things, you can notice that due to the anger, these things are happening in my body. That very observation will separate you from the process. That very observation will separate you from anger. That very observation will separate you from those negative thoughts, emotions. So that's the idea. That's the proper way of practice. We are not blaming ourselves for having these negative thoughts, emotions. We are not blaming ourselves for having lost in thoughts. We are not blaming ourselves for not being mindful. Instead, we try to focus our attention on the positive. We try to observe the negative thoughts, emotions. We try to start being mindful instead of the unmindfulness. That way, you have to take a compassionate approach towards the practice. Otherwise, again and again, you are drawn to pain-seeking behaviors. You blame yourself for being unmindful. you blame yourself for having various thoughts, emotions. You blame yourself for not practicing. You have to be compassionate towards yourself because we are human. We have certain flaws. That's the human nature. We are not trying to be perfect. We are not fans of perfectionism. Instead, we just know that we are imperfect. We just know that we have flaws. That very knowing is what we are practicing. We know that we have these weak points. We know that we have these flaws. We know that we have these faults. With the help of mindfulness, we keep observing it. We keep knowing it. We keep identifying it. So that's how you have to approach the practice of mindfulness. Most of the people, they do not know these things. They try to get rid of the negativity. They try to get rid of the thoughts. They try to get rid of the emotions. And they say as meditation, they think that they have to concentrate their mind on a single object. That's the popular message when it comes to meditation. When you say meditation, they think that they can concentrate their attention entirely on a single object. Various methods are there. Various tools are there trying to concentrate, trying to focus. You have to keep your attention on a single object for a long time. And when you have that approach, you start suffering. That's because that's going against the nature of this mind. Instead of fixing your attention on a single object, instead of concentrating your attention on a single object, we take a more simpler approach towards meditation. As meditation, we are practicing awareness, not concentration. Awareness is simply knowing that you are walking while walking, simply knowing that you are breathing, simply knowing that you are sitting while sitting. That simple awareness we are practicing. Sometimes it goes to thoughts, sometimes it goes to sounds. We become aware that I am thinking thoughts. We become aware that I am hearing sounds. Sometimes various other bodily sensations become prominent. Sometimes your mind is agitated. Sometimes your mind is calm. Sometimes you are sleepy. Sometimes you feel pain. All these things are there. We use them all to practice simply knowing. When you are sleepy, you know that you are sleepy. When your mind is agitated, you know that your mind is agitated. When you are lost in thoughts, you know that you are lost in thoughts. When you are angry, you know that you are angry. When you are irritated, you know that you are irritated. That very knowing is the proper way of practice. And when you practice this knowing, when you practice this awareness, as a result, as an additional bonus, as a bonus, your mind may concentrate onto a single object. You may be able to observe few breath cycles continuously. You may be able to observe few steps continuously. That comes as a result of awareness. So we are not seeking, we are not chasing concentration. We are not seeking, we are not chasing fixing our attention on a single object. Instead, we seek awareness. As a result, concentration may arise. As a result, you can fix your attention longer on your breath. As a result, you can fix your attention on your steps. If it comes, take it as a bonus. But if it's not there, then you don't have to worry. Simply be mindful. Continue with your practice. Sometimes it's the nature of this mind. It is agitated. It's all over the place. So many thoughts, emotions, so many things are going through your mind. So when that is there, you simply have to accept that nature. You simply have to appreciate that nature. This is the status of my mind in this moment. What to do? When it is calm, of course, then you can appreciate that. Now my mind is calm and peaceful. So that's how we are approaching meditation. That's the proper approach according to the practice that we are discussing. You take your sweet time gradually practicing, gradually knowing these various forms, various phases of the practice. You become more and more skillful with time. Earlier, maybe you had various pain-seeking behaviors. For the sake of the practice, you did these pain-seeking behaviors. But now, gradually, with time, with repetitive practice, with repetitive discussions, now you know that I am practicing awareness. I try to be aware while walking. I try to be aware while sitting. And when the mind is agitated, I know that mind is agitated. When the mind is calm, I know that mind is calm. I welcome both these states of the mind. These are different forms, different phases of the same mind. So you have to welcome them. You just welcome and know that this is the nature. This is how the mind is. If you take that approach, then you have compassion towards yourself. You are not seeking pain. So that's the way we have to gradually practice. We have to gradually improve. Now these things are subtle forms of the feelings like anger. Earlier you took revenge on other people. Now you are taking revenge on you. Earlier you wanted to, you know, have pain towards other people. Now you are having pain towards you. Especially the practitioners, they seek pain for the sake of the practice. Again and again, they have to get advice. Again and again, you have to show them the proper way of practice. Otherwise, you are torturing yourself. Do it for some time, then it becomes really difficult. Sometimes the word meditation, it is dreadful to some people. So many misconceptions are there. So even the word meditation is dreadful. But when it comes to the mindfulness practice, we simply say it's an invitation to live more and more. History is made in the present moment. So if you pay attention to it, you are living more and more. If you become aware to it, you are living more and more. It's not in the past. It's not in the future. Instead, history is making in the present moment. So whatever the things you want to do, whatever the changes you want to make, you have to do it right here, right now. Not in the future, not in the past. That simple invitation to living, that's all we have. And when you live more and more, you realize now that I am more mindful, I do my activities much better at a higher success rate. You read something, you remember because your attention was there. You do something, you can do it more successfully because your attention is there. Your efficiency becomes higher. you can get more done with less time because your attention is there. So in a way, this practice is an invitation to live more and more. Instead of the thinking mind, instead of getting lost in those thoughts, emotions, you try to live in the present moment more and more. It's more like a skill that you have to develop. Although you have this idea, you think that I should live in the present moment more and more, but it's a skill. You have to develop it. You have to gradually improve it. That's how you can live more and more. Otherwise, the habitual behaviors of mind is there. Habitually, it gets lost in these thoughts, emotions. Habitually, it gets lost in these pain-seeking behaviors. But again and again, with the help of the practice, again and again, with the support of repetitive practice, you try to be more and more present. Gradually, you improve. Gradually, you let go of these pain-seeking behaviors. Gradually, you have much better attitude towards the practice that we are doing. So little by little, the change is possible. That's what we are saying. If the change is not possible, then we don't have any faith. We don't have any hope in the practice. We can change this mind. These habitual behaviors, we can change. That's the promise here. Otherwise, if the change is not possible, if you say, I can't change this mind, if you say, I can't be present, if you say, I can't bring my attention back to the present moment, then there is no hope. Some people, they say the mind is lost. The mind is thinking. I get all these memories, past trauma, these things are hurting me, getting my mind carried away. So the question that we have to ask, can you bring your attention back to the present moment? Do you have that authority? Do you have that control over your mind? If you are human, if you haven't gone crazy, you should be able to do it. Next moment, again, the mind is lost. That's a different matter. But you have the ability to bring it to the present moment. With that ability, we approach the meditation. Again and again, we exercise this ability. Getting lost is the nature of the mind. You become aware, you bring it to the present moment. That is your authority over that process. Again, you have to do it. 1001 times you have to do. But that's possible. Change is possible. That's why they say, as neuroplasticity. Initially, they thought that it's only changing, the brain is only changing in early years, during the childhood. But now they say, as long as you are living, the brain is adjusting itself. Whatever the things that you do repetitively become prominent. Whatever the things that you are avoiding doing vanishes, fades away. That's the nature of the brain. That's the nature of the mind. So gradually, the change is possible. Gradually, you can train this mind to be more and more present. And when you improve that quality, you realize how many benefits you are receiving. How effective your activities become, how peaceful your mind becomes, you can really notice these things. You don't have to believe anybody else's words. Instead, practice for a while. Spend a few months. Spend some time. Gradually, you realize, due to this practice, I am feeling more and more peace. I feel calmness in my mind. Although the negative thoughts are there, although the thinking mind is there, although the emotions are there, I don't suffer so much due to these thoughts, emotions. I used to suffer a lot. Now it's not happening at those scales. Still the suffering is there, but comparatively it's lower. So that's a very good sign. If you feel it, then you know that this works. In order for you to feel it, you have to approach meditation gradually. You have to put some time every day, 30 minutes, 1 hour you had to put. And gradually within few weeks, few months, you realize it is helping. I am changing the nature, the behavior of my mind. And that change is helping. Change could be either positive or negative. When you become more and more addicted towards something, that's the negative change. Drug addictions, various other addictions, these things are there. You can do it for 1 or 2 days, that's fine. But if you keep doing it for a long time, then you become addicted. So the negative way also you can do. Similar potential is there for you to change it in a positive way as well. Negative way much easier because you just have to get lost in that process. Positive change is much more difficult. There's a lot more resistance. So they say negative change is more like going with the flow. The water, nature of the water is flowing downhill. The stream is going downhill. So it's much easier to travel with the stream. Even without much effort, you go. But if you are traveling uphill, if you are traveling against the current, then that's much more difficult. As soon as you start, you feel the resistance against you. So if you travel with the current, then that's the way of the world. That so many invitations we get from the society to develop various addictions. So many invitations are there to consume drugs. So many invitations are there. Turn on the TV. So many negative invitations are there. But the positive change is much more difficult. As soon as you start doing it, you feel the resistance. Now you are trying to swim against the current. That's much more difficult. But that approach you have to gradually take. You don't have to finish it within few days. You don't have to finish it within few weeks. Instead, just as a part of your daily life, keep on practicing. Simply practice 30, 20 minutes daily mindful sitting, 30, 20 minutes daily mindful walking, and do your own thing. Spend your usual day. Again, tomorrow morning, you start 20, 30 minutes of mindful sitting. Gradually, you have to go against the current. Gradually, you have to make this positive change in you. That's a more wise approach towards the practice. Otherwise, it's like burnouts. We can see so many people come into meditation. Some people even come to a monastery. They say, I'm here. I came from California. I have 1 month with me. I'm going to spend 1 month. But their approach is not very wise. Within 2-3 days, they vanish. Now, there was this young man from California. He specially came for this place. He got his leaves. He made a reservation through email. Everything was done. And he came, stayed for like 3-4 days, started complaining. Even without knowing, without informing, he left. He said the weather was too bad. He said the people are talking too loud. Various complaints were there. So you lose the opportunity to change. You have to take it gradually, step by step. I know the weather is not always comforting. You have to somehow endure it. You know, other people's behaviors, we can't really change. Some people, they talk. Although there are so many signs appreciating silence, still people talk. That's their nature. But if you see through these things, you can see the real problem. Real problem is your own mind. Although you find faults in other people, the real fault is in you. Although you find faults with the weather, the real fault is in you. So you start running within few days, you find some other place. You go there, you try to be peaceful there, but within few days, it hits you again. Again, you start complaining. Then you go to a much more peaceful place. Again, within few days, you find some new set of faults. So you have to really realize the problem is within, in your own mind. No matter where you go to the, whether you go to the other part of the world, the opposite side of the world, still the problem will follow you. The problem is within, in your own mind. Wherever you go, you feel like the people are targeting me. Wherever you go, you feel like everything is happening against me. That's your own mind, nothing else. They have other work to do. They are not targeting you. Even the nature is not following you all the time. So it's the mind that's creating all these problems. So you have to gradually approach, gradually try to change this mind for better. If you do it, if you spend your time on it, you realize after a few months, after a few years, it's really worthwhile. I have spent this time to this practice. That's the best thing I have done in my whole life. I have changed my behavior. I have changed my life to support my practice. And that's the best thing I have done in my whole life. So that realization will come with time if you keep at it, if you endure these temporary difficulties, and if you keep on practicing within few months, within few years, you realize this is the best thing I have done for myself. This is the best value for my life. Now your mind is not taking suffering out of these things. Now your mind is not creating suffering out of these things that are happening. The things are happening, that process hasn't ceased, but still your mind doesn't take suffering out of it. There's no friction due to that process. So that's the real change. That's the real peace that we are talking about. So we invite all of you to try and practice. Try to feel this in you. Within few months, within few weeks, you can feel this. You can really see how the practice is helping. And when you see that, you don't have to believe somebody else's words. So try and practice. Try to experience the peace, the comfort that we are talking about. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Bhante. Much merit. It's another brilliant talk on mindfulness practice. Much merit to Bhante. Next, we are moving on to the question and answer session, and I would like to invite Sonali to commence the question and answer session. Thank you, Sonali.
Thank you, Namantha. Thank you, Bhante. Avasarai, Bhante. I will run through the beginner's guide before we go into the reports or the questions. So we've got a couple of videos that Nisaramanya has formulated for us to watch before we start our meditation. One is about mindful walking, the other one's about mindful sitting. Once you watch that, you'll be able to get a better understanding and start your own practice. Start with any amount of time, 5 minutes to 5 to 10 minutes onwards, and then you can develop it further. And once you do, we would like to hear your experience written in a reflection report. We will be reading out some reports later on. You can get an idea then as well. So you can put it into your own words, what you would feel, Just remember, it's not a test of knowledge of Dhamma or anything like that. Just write your own experience in words, under the heading of mindful walking, mindful sitting, and your daily mindfulness. Namantha will share some of this onto the chat section now, so you will know where to send the reports. But we do have a Google form and also an email address, which is beginnersnv@gmail.com, for you to share this with us. I will now move on to the reports. We have received two reports today. I will start with the first one. Mindful walking. Walked indoors on a straight path. First, when standing at one end of the path, noted the anticipation in the mind to notice sensations of feet. Then the walking started. Noted the lifting of heel, midfoot, and toes, as well as placing of some alternatively. Shifting of body weight also noted. Sensation of clothing, especially around the ankles, noted. It was slow at the beginning, and now walking was happening at a natural pace. Attention would return to feet from time to time. Mind was also okay to notice muscle movement in rest of the body. Walking was becoming automatic, walked for 35 minutes. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion and closed eyes gently. There was a familiar body scan and noted the silence in the early morning. When breath appeared, it was fairly prominent. In-breath was cooler and out-breath warmer. Noted the in-breath and its passing away. Also out-breath and its passing away. Natural rhythm of breathing noted next. Thoughts about past emerged from time to time, and these too passed away. Breath felt subtle. Felt waves of electric pulses sweeping through, and that too ended. Mind felt calm. The environment felt calm. Mind felt lighter. Breath was breaking up, and after a while, felt like the upper body was slowly rocking back and forth. Quietness felt peaceful. Sat for nearly an hour. Mindfulness during the day. There were a couple of unexpected events that took place last week, and I'm sharing how the mind experienced them, which is different from a couple of years ago. An email on Monday mentioned that the room rented for client work in the city was becoming unavailable after the end of June. There was a momentary reaction of panic and shock, then a calmness noted for longer in the mind. It was surprising. Shock-like feeling came and passed away a few times, which was replaced by a calmness, as if it's okay to let go of the room mentally. Almost immediately, multiple options emerged in the mind. For example, doing work online or finding similar rental space in the city. Few years ago, the mind would have had a dramatic reaction to the email. Another unexpected new was the building work planned at home being brought forward by a couple of weeks due to changes in builders' availability. Irritation and annoyance crossed the mind on hearing this news, as lots of preparations, such as moving household items much sooner from the affected area to another area, which was originally planned for 2 weeks from now. Again, the calmness came up in the mind alongside a sense of confidence that what needs to be done could be done in the given time. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to the organizers and Bhante. End of report.
Okay, thank you for sharing. Now, when you share, all the people who are connected, they too can relate this to their day-to-day life. Now, if you are not practicing, the panic is natural. When you hear something, you suddenly panic. You get so many thoughts. You worry what to do next. Now, this is happening. So many things are there. And maybe even for few days, this may continue. Sometimes for few weeks, this may continue. So you suffer. You suffer. You see how much suffering is created in this mind due to this single incident. Just because you received an email, everything is ruined. Just because you receive a phone call, your whole day is ruined. This is how our mind is creating suffering. And when you approach your practice little by little, when you spend your time as walking, sitting, formal meditation, and when you mature in your practice for a while, then you realize, although the previous reaction, the previous rigor is, the previous trigger is there, it is not creating so much suffering. Still the trigger is there. Still the trigger is there, right? Still that initial reaction, initial compulsion you get. But due to the practice, due to the strengthened mind, it doesn't create so much suffering. So you can see how the practice is helping you. Now, I was talking to somebody a few days ago, and that person was worrying about a project. Now, this has happened. What to do? How can we solve this? This is a huge problem. So I didn't take it so seriously. So that person was even upset about me. Bante, you are not taking this seriously. We have to do something. This project is not going to be successful this way. So again and again, they are saying. So I told him that this is not a life or death situation. Just let it happen and see. Call a meeting and we'll see what they say. You have to do it. No, then we can see. Okay, this person says yes, this person says no. Then we can sort it out. But without the having the meeting, without even sending an invitation, worrying what to do. Just do the initial thing and see what will come out. Talk to that person and see, and you'll get an answer. Then we can figure out what to do from here. So this is the worrying mind. This is how the suffering is created in our mind. These are real life experiences, how the suffering is created. Some people, they worry this person may come and say something. They will ruin our thing. They will ruin our meeting. Various worries are there. So tell them to come, send an invitation. When they come, we'll see what they do. That's how you have to face the life. You have to take the challenge. You have to rise up to the challenge. Then we'll see what will happen. If something bad happens, it happens. What to do? Somebody died, he dies. What to do? So some people, they come for meditation. To a monastery, they come. To a forest, they come. And they say, within few days, they complain about their sicknesses. Within few days, they complain about mosquitoes. Within few days, they complain about various poisonous snakes that are around. They say, Bante, if a dengue mosquito bite me, then I may not live. If a poisonous snake bite me, then what can we do? There are no ambulances, so many kilometers till the front office. How can we solve these things? So we tell them, if you die, don't worry. We'll give the funeral to the monkeys. Not the black monkeys, but the yellow monkeys. They are good funeral directors. Not the black version, the yellow version. Right? So they will manage the situation. They will manage the situation much better. Don't worry. You don't have to worry. They'll do it. You die, you die. What to do? That's life. That's life. That's how it happens. You can plan those things. You plan for so many things. Can you plan your death? Some people, they even try that. They try to plan your death. But you, how do you know what will come? Can you plan the illnesses? Do you know how long you will live? No idea. And if you, you know, make your mind, okay, I have this illness, I'm going to die. Within a week, I will die. You wait for a week, still no result. Then you say, within a month, I will die. Still no result. within a year, I will die. Still no result. That's not how life works. When the time is right, without even saying goodbye, you may go. When the time is not right, although you plan your death, it is not happening. You can see some young people without any sign of sickness, suddenly they drop dead. How could it happen? Some old people, 95 years old, still hanging in. Right? So that's how it works. You can't really plan it. You don't know what's around the corner. So you have to be prepared. Just keep calm, quiet mind and see what comes. If the death comes, probably it's a good day to die today. That's the approach you have to have. Otherwise, always worrying. Always worrying. Difficult things might come, problems may arise. So this is the worrying mind. This is how the suffering is created out of your mind. When you hold on to so many things, maybe these words doesn't come easy to you. You have so many things. You have your children, you have your work, you have your responsibilities, when all the things are there. When you hold on to all those things, maybe it's not easy. I know I can feel it. But still, when you practice, you realize it's not how it's going to happen. You don't know how things will turn out. And although you plan, you can't stay longer if the time is right. No, the people who died, let's say yesterday, they didn't plan that, no. Maybe they had so many things. They were probably like 20 years old. They were probably like 30 years old. They were probably like having two young children. Still they had to go because the time was right. And the remaining people, the relatives, the family, the friends, they will cry for a while. But within a week, within 2 weeks, they will move on. That's how the life is. So you have to be present. You have to train your mind to be present. You have to let go of this huge burden. And you see, then you realize everything is happening perfectly. Whatever the problems that come, those are the problems that should come. Whatever the incidents that happen, that's the perfect way. That's how the life is when you train your mind. That's how you will approach it. Then you realize, although the things are happening, they are not hurting me. Although the things are happening, I am not creating suffering out of that incident. That's why they say, the pain you can bear, the pain you can manage. But that suffering part is the life-threatening part. That suffering part is the murdering part. That suffering part is the suiciding part. Pain you can manage. Certain illnesses, they come. Certain issues, they happen. That pain part you can manage. But this suffering is created out of your mind. You can't really compare it even. You can't know how other person is thinking, how other person is feeling. That's why if you go on internet, there are certain scales of emotional pain. Emotional pain, they can't really measure it. Why? Because it is unique to the person experiencing. They, on their scale, they have something, small issue, right? Get rejected or fired from a job. So that's a small thing when it comes on emotional scale. But for that person, it might be huge. How do you know? How you can tell that it's not a big thing for that other person? You don't know how they experience it. So that's how the emotion is created. That's how the suffering is created. Really dangerous. That is the, it's like, it's how the murders are created. It's how the suicides are created out of this suffering part. how you experience it in your mind. So with practice, you realize you can really get rid of this suffering part gradually, but for sure you can get rid of it. When you share your experience like this, then even the others, probably there's a newcomer, they too hear, now I can get rid of this part. There's hope, there's the assurance, this person, the other person talking, they have experienced it. So thank you for sharing. Continue with your practice and you will realize even you can reduce it further. Still there is suffering, but the more you practice, lower it will become.
Thank you, Bhante. We can all relate to that one. I will move on to the next report. Walking meditation. Stood noting weight of the body on both feet. Noted contact of feet on ground, warmth on soles, colder on top of feet, slight vibrations on both feet and legs. Initial moving and placing of right and left feet, then lifting the heel, midfoot and toes, arising of contact and it ending with each lift observed. The natural feeling noted to start and end. At one point, unpleasant feeling while noted when muscles were contracting to balance while other foot was moving slowly. The unpleasant feeling passing noted. The perception of foot and floor and how they changed with each step felt. Arising and passing of touch consciousness noted too. Walked for 30 minutes. Sitting meditation. After the walking, sat on cushion, aware of vibrations in body, especially on hands and legs, noted the expansion of chest and movement of shoulders, arms with each breath. Mind noted sounds, thoughts, images, all arising and passing, not distracting. Pain arose at end of one leg, noted vibrations, electric currents and their changes and nature of pain changing. Did not change posture. Mind watched breath, which was swing-like appear and disappear and reappear. A part of nose disappeared. Mind peaceful. When meditation ended, felt could have sat even longer. Meditated for 1 hour. Daily mindfulness. During a disagreement with family member, was able to be patient, watching the mind getting irritated and impatient. Compassion and compassion arose and was able to explain the positions being just different point of view and agreed to leave the discussion as the outcome was not within either of our control. Previously, the discussion may not have ended that peacefully. That is the end of report, Dante.
Okay, so that's a good way of practice as well as good way of reporting. Now, in that report, it's more like a statement. No doubts, no questions. You just simply share your experience. So, in a way, it's good to report that way. Especially for newcomers, we say find the proper way of reporting. Because in your reporting, it's a reflection of your practice. So, in your reporting, if you encourage doubts, if you encourage questions, then even during the practice, you are encouraging doubts. During the practice, you are encouraging questions. Right? So reporting, it has to be honest in a way to share your own experience. And when you report, you don't encourage doubts. You don't encourage questions. Instead, simply, this is how it is. You simply try to be aware. And you share your experience. Of course, if there's a doubt, if there's a question, you can ask. But that's not our focus in your report. Simply, can I be mindful of the walking? Can I be mindful of the sitting? How do I know that I am mindful of the walking? How do I know that I am mindful of the sitting? That's the proper approach. 80% of the value is given there. 80%. right? 80% of the value is given there. Can I be mindful while walking? And how do I know that I am mindful? How can I convey it to somebody else that I was mindful while walking? Can I be mindful while sitting? How do I know that I am mindful while sitting? How can I convey that message to somebody else? That's the main focus in your report. That's 80% of the value. Then remain in whatever the thoughts, whatever the questions, whatever the doubts you have, remain in 20%. Right? So you have to make sure that you are not encouraging questions. You have to make sure that you are not encouraging doubts in your practice. Confidence, it plays a huge role in this practice. Now there was this interesting question posted on social media or somewhere. The question was, now if the Buddha said that you are already enlightened, why do you practice? That's the question. Even some Buddhist might come and complain, Buddha didn't say that, right? The question is, if Buddha said that you are already enlightened, why do you practice? Right? So some people definitely they might come and say, Buddha didn't say that. Right? So that's their argument. But if we go into the question, the statement, then why do you practice? If you are already enlightened, if you are already a Buddha, then why do you practice? That's a really valuable question. That's a really interesting question. You practice because you don't know that you're already enlightened. You practice because you don't have that confidence. With practice, you realize everything is perfect. With practice, you realize I am already enlightened. I was born as a Buddha, and only after so many years, I realized this. Even Buddha himself, he realized he was a born Buddha only after 35 years. So many years of hard work, so many years of practice, 6 years of torturing himself, finally he realized that already enlightened, already a Buddha, born Buddha, right? So if you have confidence in your practice, that's a huge role. That plays a huge part. That's why we don't encourage questions. That's why we don't encourage doubts. Even you ask a question, the answer is not given, focusing that. Question is left aside. Why? Because we are not encouraging the questions. We are not encouraging the doubts. If you say you are mindful, you are mindful. If you say you are not mindful, then you are not mindful. That's simple as that. Can you believe? Can you believe? Can it happen like that? That's the truth. If you say you are mindful, if you say my mindfulness is unshaken, then you are not mindful. You are mindful all the time. If you say the sounds break my mindfulness, the thoughts break my mindfulness, I can't be mindful due to these things, then yes, you can't do it. That's the role of the confidence in the practice. So if you say, then I'm already enlightened and my mindfulness is not shaking, then that's true. But if you are encouraging doubts, if you are encouraging questions, then probably it may take so many years. So that's why the confidence is important in the practice. You need to practice in order to realize that you are already enlightened, in order to realize that you are perfectly imperfect. The practice will tell you, the practice will teach you. And you realize even before the practice, I had these qualities, I had this thing I didn't appreciate. Now with the help of the practice, I realize this is the proper way. Now with the help of the practice, I realize I'm already enlightened. So that's a very nice argument to show how much the confidence will matter in this life, in this practice. So try to practice and try to have faith, try to have confidence. The mindfulness will not shake. Thoughts may come, the mind is not shaken. Emotions may come, past incidents may come, agitation may arise, pain may arise. The mind is not shaken if you have that confidence. So you are already enlightened, but you need the practice to realize it. You need the practice to touch it. So that's a proper way of practicing. That's a proper way of reporting your experience. So we encourage you to practice this way more and more and share your experience.
Thank you very much, Bhante. We do have some time left today to open out for either statements or questions. We have received one already via a Facebook listener. And the question goes, Dear Bhante, I have been practicing sitting meditation for about 3 years and increased the time that I sit gradually as I felt more interested in the process. Within the 45 minutes to 1 hour mark that I sit, I have been focusing on my breath most of the time. And when I get into other thought, I would acknowledge it and come back to focusing on my breath again. After some time, my breath gets unnoticed, although I am still aware that I am breathing. I then feel a tingling feeling on my forehead for some time, and then it goes away after some time. This whole process continues again. Dear Bhante, please advise us to how I should approach my practice going forward. End of the question, Bhante.
Right, so this way of practice is fine. Now you see the breath is changing. It is becoming less and less prominent. Then various other things may arise. Even various tingling sensations, various things are there. Thoughts, emotions, past memories, various things might come. But the promise in the practice is that whatever that appears, that too shall pass away. If you try to be patient, if you try to be mindful, then you realize within some time that too will pass away. After some time, again, your mind becomes prominent. After some time, again, the breath becomes prominent. So that's how the process is. You have to allow it to continue. You have to go through these different experiences. The breath is only there to support you in the initial phase. Initially, you are aware that the breath is there. Now you are aware that the breath is not there. Which is stronger? The second one is stronger. Now you don't have an object of mindfulness, but still you are mindful. So that's a more stronger level of mindfulness. And you simply continue like this. So I would encourage you to tell us when you get up from the sitting session after 45 minutes, after 1 hour, you get up. What happened to your meditation? Are you done or are you continuing with your meditation? So that's the question you have to ask. Otherwise, you can do this 1 hour of meditation for 10 more years. Nothing will ever change. When you get up from that sitting session, what happens to my meditation? Am I continuing my meditation or am I waiting till the next sitting session to practice? So that's the question that you have to ask. And if you approach that way, if you approach meditation that way, if you take living as meditation, then you will find much better results, much faster.
Thank you, Bhante. So we do have a few minutes. We can open to any questions or statements now. Please raise your Zoom hand or type out your question in the chat section and I will present it to Bhante. Hiranti, I can see your hand up. Would you like to unmute and ask your question?
Thank you. Avasarai Bhante, I mentioned that I will report today on the question I raised last week about when I do mindfulness breathing, I can feel the breath going in, but breath coming out, I cannot notice, especially which nostril is it coming in and which nostril it's going out. But you asked me to carry on and then report it later. So having very mindful about this process, I can feel the out-breath, but I cannot still notice which nostril is going in and which nostril is coming out. So, should I continue or anything, any other advice, please, Bante?
Okay, so that's a good starting point. Now you have a data point or you have experience, right? Now start from there and continue with your practice. Try to observe more and more ingoing breaths. Try to notice that you don't feel the outgoing breaths. Continue with that observation. And when you continue with that observation, when your attention grows, you may feel even more and more details. The things that you don't feel currently, you may start to feel, right? So that's a good starting point. That's a good data point that you have there. Now try to see, how can I observe more and more in-breaths like this? How can I know that I don't feel the out-breath for longer and longer? That very observation you can do for the coming week. And next time you can tell us more details about that. How could I observe the in-breath for a longer period? Was I successful or was I not? That very observation you can add to your next report.
So what you mean is, Pante, to carry on as it is and pay more attention to the out-breath?
No, don't have to pay more attention. Right, current attention is enough. What I'm suggesting is that continue with it with this observation for a longer period. Right now, you have a single data point. Now, you have to draw the entire graph. Right, you can't draw a graph with a single data point. More data points you have, better the graph becomes, more accurate it becomes. So, I'm suggesting you to add more and more data points.
So wouldn't it be better if I continue for more than a week, 2 weeks, or more meditation on the breath? Is that what you're saying?
You can continue the meditation as long as you are living. That's the real way of meditating. But what I'm suggesting is that try to do this observation for a longer period and tell us what happens when you do it.
Okay. All right. Got it. Thank you.
If anyone else has any questions, we may be able to take one more question. Otherwise, I can't see any more hands. So I think maybe that will be the end of that. I will pass on to Namantha again to end the session.
Thank you very much, Merit Sonali, and also thank you, Bante, much merits to Bante, for such insightful advice. And yes, and also thanking all the participants who sent through reports and also raised verbal questions just now. So with that, our session on mindfulness for beginners today comes to an end, and we would like to wrap this up. So I would like to thank and share merits with Venerable Bante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero for representing Nisaramane Forest Monastery and providing us such valued inputs and insights into our practice. So much merits to Bante, and we hope that these merits will have a positive knock-on effect on Bante's own practice too. Furthermore, I would also like to mention with much gratitude, Most Venerable Bante Udayiragama Dhammajiva Mahathero, the Chief Abbot of the Nisaramane Forest Monastery, for providing us with this platform of a program to continue this kind of education on applying mindfulness. Also, there are organizers in this program who are looking after this program from the very beginning to initiate it and to run it this way. So thank you and sharing merits with all of you. And I hope that these merits will have a positive effect on your own practices, and you keep improving each moment, each day. So thank you. And of course, we are fortunate to have all of you joining these sessions in live format on the Zoom and also through the Facebook live stream. And we share these merits with you and hope that these merits go on to improve your mindfulness. And of course, we appreciate the fact that your presence justifies the continuation of the program, achieving us the participation from Bhante, from Nisarvana Forest Monastery. So with that, if anyone has a question or any feedback, I can give you a minute or so to speak, if you can raise Zoom hand. It's just a formality. I think there's no one raising Zoom hand. So I would like to close off the session for today. I wish all of you a happy and mindful week ahead. And we will have the same program session on next week, same time on Saturday. It will be 1 p.m. Sri Lankan time, wherever you are geographically located in the world. So wish you a happy and mindful week ahead. And thank you. We will see you next week, and I will close off the Zoom session for now. Thank you.